Then I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, that'll be our text for the message. 1 John chapter 1. Not too long ago, I was talking to a fellow that attends a church not here. But he's a Christian, loves the Lord, good brother. And in the course of our conversation, I don't know how the subject came up, but the subject came to Halloween. And he said that he had talked to some Christians from some church, and he said, you know that they won't celebrate Halloween? He said, I think that's absurd. He said, that's just absolutely absurd. What could possibly be wrong with Halloween? It's just a fun day, and the children enjoy it. What could possibly be wrong with it? And then he looked at me like, you know, this is a question. What could be wrong with Halloween? He asked the wrong person. And I told him, I had just heard this quote. I wish I knew who said it. I'd give him credit for it. But the quote was this: to ask a Christian, a disciple of Christ, to ask a Christian to celebrate Halloween is like asking a Holocaust survivor to celebrate Hitler's birthday. Now, in my estimation, in my mind, it's as clear as that to me. It's that black and white. We should know as Christians that there is a sharp distinction between right and wrong, black and white, truth and lies, God and the devil, good and evil, right? A sharp distinction between light and darkness. And the Bible tells us right here in 1 John chapter 1, we'll read beginning in verse 5, he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. This is the message we have heard from him. Now, John is writing this, John the Apostle. He says he got this message from him, directly from the Lord. Remember, verse 1 of chapter 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John is an eyewitness. I was there. I watched him. I heard him. I touched him. This is an eyewitness report. And he says, this is what he said. This is what he said, and this is what we declare to you. Verse 5, that God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. In him is no darkness at all. Some light or maybe a little darkness. No, there is no darkness at all. Right? This is what we declare, John said. God is light. And what is light is true and right and pure. And what is darkness should be obvious to those who know what the light is. The light is just the opposite of darkness. Right? Amen. Now, today, our subject is Halloween. And I know that a lot of people think that it's a harmless holiday. That's just like this fella told me, this Christian fella not too long ago, that it's harmless, the kids enjoy it. Let's just consider some of the economic implications of Halloween. Do you know that right now that Halloween generally brings in about $6 to $7 billion a year? $6 to $7 billion a year, $2 billion last year just on candy. That's a whole lot of candy. But with the masquerading now, it's become the second biggest party day in the nation, second only to Christmas. Christmas, of course, is that's an economic engine. But Halloween is second, really, only to Christmas. And as far as a day of revelry and partying and just a day of license, a day of letting go and getting wild, and Halloween is second only to Christmas. So it's a big day as far as economically. Here in New Orleans, in the New Orleans area, it's a big party day, Halloween. Big day for drinking, debauchery, drunkenness, carrying on, and so forth. But I want us to think about, you think about Halloween, what images come to your mind? One of the first things that comes to your mind is witches. Witches, monsters of some sort or other, people masquerading as some sort of a demon entity, skeletons and vampires. And then all the things that people decorate their houses with, tombstones, skeletons, black cats, witches, you know, everything having to do with what is witchcraft and sorcery and magic and so on. Now, the Bible says God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Do you think these things, these decorations, do they symbolize light or darkness? Truth or lies? Right or wrong? Well, what should you think a Christian should actually put that kind of stuff on their house? What makes one night a year, it's okay to put a big silhouette of a witch on our house one night a year? One night a year, it's okay to masquerade like a demon? And we act like that's fun or funny or whatever? Of course, there are some churches that say, you know, we see that, you know, all of these kind of things are scary, witches, demons, and all that, it's scary, so we're not going to masquerade like that, but we'll let our children dress up like Bible characters. You know, this one's going to be Samson, and that one's going to be John the Baptist, or this one's going to be a little shepherd girl, or we'll have some little pretend sheep or whatever. And so they try to salvage the holiday, maybe Christianize it. That's what they try to do. They try to Christianize what is pagan so that they don't deprive the children. My contention is that what they actually do is paganize what is Christian, and they do deprive the children. You paganize what is Christian. You can't bring pagan customs into the church. You can't bring pagan celebrations into the church. You can't paint it another color and pretend that it's suddenly okay. You wind up the same place you are right now, and that is with the church in the world and the world in the church. But I would like today to just point out a few things about Halloween that I hope will bring some clarity to our minds and our understanding, and give us an idea where this thing came from and what it's all about. Romans chapter 11, you don't have to turn here, but Romans 11:16 says this: if the root is holy, so are the branches. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Now that also would imply that the opposite is true. If the root is unholy, then so are the branches, right? The root of Halloween is definitely unholy. The root of it, the core of it, the origin of it, the beginnings of it is unquestionably bad, unquestionably ungodly. It's actually a pagan holiday that the church embraced sometime around the 7th century. One of the Catholic popes decided he would rename this thing. It used to be called, it was the Celtic celebration of Samhain. Summer's end, the beginning of winter, and the beginning of winter for the Druids who actually originated this Halloween celebration, the beginning of winter was the beginning of the series of a period of death. This is when the trees lost all of their leaves and everything looked dead and brown. The grass all dried. Winter set in. It was a period of time in the year when the nights were longer than the days. It was the beginning of winter. It was a celebration of Samhain, who was, in Celtic history, the Lord of the Dead. The Lord of the Dead. It was a celebration of winter's arrival and death. Actually, a celebration of death. Now, this is where Halloween actually got its emphasis on death. Death symbols are the most common symbols you'll see during Halloween. That's why you see coffins and tombstones, graveyards, skeletons, things rising up out of the grave. The emphasis on death goes all the way back to this Druid celebration. Isn't that incredible? You might also find it interesting that when the Americas were settled by pilgrims, they absolutely would have nothing to do with this celebration, nothing to do with it whatsoever, because they knew it was pagan. They rejected it. But around the 19th century, the mid-19th century, North America was flooded with immigrants from Ireland. And those immigrants brought with them their old Celtic customs. And Halloween got a foothold in America once more. And what we celebrate today, the way it's celebrated today, actually grew out of its ancient roots and its resurrection, reintroduction into the Americas by the Irish in the mid-19th century. But the way the Celts believed, this is what they believed, that on this particular night, of all nights of the year, it was their New Year celebration, by the way, and this night of the year, above all others, there was a veil that separated between the living and the dead, and that veil was the thinnest on that night, on Halloween night. That veil was so thin that was the night that you wanted to have your fortune told. That's the night you wanted somebody with supernatural powers, occult powers, a psychic, a witch, a trance medium. You wanted someone to divine your future. This was the night that children would bob for apples. Y'all are familiar with that old custom or that old tradition where they put a big tub full of water, put apples in it, and you tie your hands behind your back and you try and grab an apple out with your mouth. Have you ever seen that done? It's an old custom. Actually, it's a form of divination because according to the Celtic custom, the first person who could actually grab an apple with their mouth and take a chunk out of it with their teeth would be the first person to get married in this new year. Because remember, this was years in, summer's in, the beginning of a brand new year as they enter into this winter time period, and fortunes were told. They believed also on this particular night, this was an important part of their custom, they believed that the dead actually would return and visit the homes that they used to live in. The dead, they believed this. This was a powerful superstition that gripped them. It held them by the throat. Remember, the ancient people were unenlightened. They lived in a land of darkness, of superstition, of fear and dread and taboos. And superstitions ruled their lives. Taboos of different kinds, superstitions ruled their lives. Even today, a lot of people are very, very superstitious. Superstition has no place in a Christian's life, of course, but in ancient times and even today, many places you see them still worried about a black cat crossing their path. You'll see a horseshoe nailed over their door. You'll see they carry a lucky rabbit's foot around on their keychain. You know who's superstitious? Gamblers. Gamblers are some of the most superstitious people around. Or people who play sports. Like some of them, man, they'll wear a pair of lucky underwear. You know, they're going to wear that pair of underwear. It might be 20 years old, but they're going to wear it because that's their lucky underwear. When they wear that, they win ball games. And lucky hats. And some of them do lucky signs and things that, you know, they're so superstitious. I still remember, I mean, years ago before my wife or I were walking with the Lord, we'd go to these bingo halls and play bingo. And everybody would buy they'd have all their bingo cards out on the table. And right next to their bingo cards, all their lucky beans, rosaries, lucky coin. That's, you know, they're looking for luck to smile upon them. Well, this is what the Celts believed. They believed that the house they lived in, the people who used to live there, that are now dead, are going to come back to that house on Halloween night. And they're not going to be too happy to find them living in their house. They believed that the dead actually wandered the streets on that particular night of the year. Monstrous things, skeletal remains walking through the streets, something undead, something out of the grave, grotesque, horrible, fearful. And so they were afraid when that dead thing got to their house and found them living in it, that they might hurt them, harm them, might kill their cattle or burn their crops. So they would actually put out gifts. They would put gifts out to appease these wandering spirits, hoping that if we put these things out, maybe they'll leave us alone. They won't harm us. So they would put out things like fruits and nuts of various kinds, hoping that these monsters would pass them by and leave them alone. And believe it or not, that's where we get our ancient custom of trick or treat. The providing treats for people dressed up like demons, monsters, witches, ogres, and so forth. It's trick or treat, you know. It's like a little threat of a little bit of extortion going on here. You give us a treat, or we'll play a trick on you. But that's where this custom actually came from, all the way back thousands of years ago to these Celtic superstitions. And the whole idea of masquerading itself, dressing up like a demon, a witch, a monster, a vampire, a skeleton, that goes back to this same superstition. They believed the dead wandered the streets. So if you were going to be out on the streets, if you were going to be anywhere that night, you didn't want them to recognize you as a human and try and get you, afflict you, hurt you, harm you, put some sickness on you, whatever. So you dress like one of them. Dress like a skeleton. Dress like a monster. Dress like a witch. Dress like a demon. Dress like you're one of them. You blend in with them. They leave you alone. And again, this is where these customs come from. I believe it's important that we know as Christians where this stuff comes from. Why do people do these things? Why do they do that one night a year? One night a year, why do people go out? You tell your children all year long, don't take candy from strangers. But one night a year, you send them out to do just what you tell them not to do. Once a year, you say, go get candy from all the strangers. Go get candy from all the neighbors. Go knock on doors and ring doorbells. But this whole Halloween custom is born out of superstition. And while a lot of people today think that it's innocent, it's harmless, there's nothing wrong with it, it's fun for the children, I want to remind Christians, if you're a disciple of Christ, then you want to pay attention to what the Bible actually says on this subject and on any subject, right? Amen. This subject and any subject. Let's look at a couple of other verses tonight. We'll look at, you turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. We'll look at a passage over here. Since you're in 1 John, Look with me to chapter 3. We're going to read a couple of verses here. I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10 says, beginning in verse 2, "Learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain." Don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't do what the heathen do. You're not like them. You're not of them. Hello. You're not of them. You're not like them. Don't learn their ways. Don't adopt their customs. Remember, God repeatedly told Israel that you're going to be living in your own land, but you're going to be surrounded by the heathen. Don't learn their ways. Don't adopt their customs. Don't embrace their practices, because you are different. Right? All right, 1 John 3, we're going to read a passage over here. Brother Rusty, there's nothing wrong with, somebody dressing up like a devil, a witch, or a ogre, a monster. I mean, it's all in fun. There's nothing wrong with that. Verse 7, 1 John 3, 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous." Right? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. It's not just because you say, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, that means I'm free to live, you know, any kind of way I want to. Actually, the Bible says, don't be deceived by this. The one who does righteousness is righteous. And verse 8, the one who practices sin is of the devil. The one who does righteousness is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, or literally does not practice sin. He says, and in this the children of God are manifest, verse 10, and the children of the devil. The devil has children too. In this the children of God are made known, they are manifest, they are revealed, and the children of the devil are manifested and revealed. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Let's make sure we realize that not all men or women are children of God. Although that's a common saying, well, we're all God's children, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there's a difference and a distinction between the children of God, verse 10, and the children of the devil. Right? Well, your Bible says that. Also, in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, the Bible says, he's talking to Israel, he says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Deuteronomy 18:9. Don't learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Don't do like they do. Don't act like them. Now, we live here. This is where we live. But you know, it's really not our home. Not really and truly. Remember, we're strangers and pilgrims here. We're foreigners here. We live in a strange land. Its customs are not our customs. Our customs are not its customs. We can't try to blend in. We can't try to be like everybody else. We are different, and we must maintain that distinction. Hello. As a Christian, you have to remember, you're not supposed... The idea is not for you to try to fit in here. The idea is for you to be light here in this darkness. Right? So, if the root is holy, so are the branches, Romans 11 says. But if the root is unholy, so are the branches. And if the root of this celebration is unholy, then so is the present tense manifestation of it. You follow? You follow? So it does have an unholy root. No one can deny the fact. There is just far, far too much historical evidence that reveals the fact of Halloween's pagan origin. It was born in the pagan superstition of the Celts. In fact, the pagan superstition of the Druid religion, which was a religion so abominable, so horrifying, that Rome, as bad as wicked as ancient Rome was, Rome forbade the practice of Druidism. That's just how wicked and depraved it was. So the Christian attitude is, look, this is a celebration that belongs to the world. It belongs in the world and not in the church. Now, another point I would like to make is that Halloween does glorify the powers of darkness. It does. The focus, just consider the whole focus of the celebration. The whole focus is on everything that is dark and wrong and wicked and abominable and horrible. I mean, that's the focus of the whole celebration, right? The focus is on the powers of darkness. People decorate their homes and their businesses with all of these macabre decorations. I remember, it's almost every place you go, you see people around Halloween time masquerading. It doesn't matter where you go. Go to the restaurant, the waitress is dressed like a witch, or go get your hair cut, the person cutting your hair, unless it's Bob. I better not find Bob with a sorcerer's hat on or anything. But the powers of darkness are glorified, and they come to center stage during that particular time of the year. And the church, you know, sometimes I just wonder, where is the discernment in the body of Christ? How is it that people shrug their shoulders at such things and permit it in their families? You know, if you have small children, they permit it for their children to go participate in it and so on. I believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to go out and try to stop this in the community. That's not my point. But we don't allow it in our homes. We don't allow it amongst ourselves. Let the world, I mean, the world's going to hell. Now, we should want to witness to them and preach to them and proclaim Christ to them, but it's not our place to go try and stop these celebrations in the world. That's not what we're trying to do. We are trying to wake up the body of Christ and say, look, you've got no part in this world. This is a pagan superstition. It glorifies the powers of darkness. It dishonors Christ. And you should have no part of it. We have to come out and be separate. 2 Corinthians. Let's turn to this passage. If you have your Bible, turn there with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Y'all with me? All right. It never fails that just before Halloween, either a couple of days before Halloween, usually the SPCA will close up. They quit allowing people to adopt animals just before Halloween because they found many times in the past some of those animals wound up being mutilated during ritualistic sacrifice on Halloween. Now, it doesn't matter that some people say, oh, that's all a bunch of baloney and hocus pocus and boogeyman scare stuff. The fact of the matter is, sacrifices are offered by satanic groups on Halloween. It is the number one high holy day among pagan religions, and among Satanists, they do offer sacrifices. Now, generally, they'll sacrifice animals. It's chickens and dogs and cats and things such as that. But if you read the newspapers or you watch the news, it never fails. It never fails. Excuse me. That there will be reports of farmers who've had their cattle slaughtered in their fields, entrails removed, usually sexual organs removed, in some kind of satanic ritual. It never fails. So this sort of thing actually does go on. The SPCA has to be careful about letting animals be adopted and so on. Cats disappear in people's neighborhoods. Farmers have their cattle slaughtered and so forth. The police are on high alert because of the things that go on during Halloween time. Even hospitals will often offer to x-ray children's candy. Bring your, if your children get fruit, somebody gives them apples or little popcorn balls or whatever it is, bring it to the hospital, let us x-ray it, make sure there's no needles in there, nails in it, and glass and things like that. Why do you think they have to do that? Because they know this kind of stuff happens this night of the year. There's something. Look, this is a demonic celebration. There are people who are motivated by devils to do demonic things when they wouldn't do that ordinarily any other time of the year. But they do it on Halloween. It's sad. The police are on alert. People are really watching out for all this while the church just stumbles blindly on its way, accepting practices of darkness right in its midst. But let's read. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's some things that just don't mix. Fire and water. They say oil and water doesn't mix. But here's what really doesn't mix. Righteousness with unrighteousness. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with what unrighteousness? What communion does light have with darkness? How absurd is that? Light and darkness don't mix. You try and blend them together, and you get neither real light nor real darkness, just a gray. And that's where many in the body of Christ are today. They're not light, they're not darkness, they're just gray. He says, what concord, what symphony does Christ have with Belial, with the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Interesting play on Greek terms. Those that believe, faith is pistis. What part does he have? What part does pistis have with apistis? Faith with no faith. Those that believe with those that don't believe. The idea is you can't mix Christianity with the world. You can't mix light with darkness. God forbids it. God won't tolerate it. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, go out and be one of them. Oh, that's right. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them, and be separate. I like the way Wiest, in his Greek translation, he translates this. When it says, come out from among them, the idea is come out at once. Come out right now. You have to come out from this world. You have to come out from this darkness and be separate from it. Be different from it. You're not of it. We have to live here, but we're not from here. We live among these folks, but we're not like these folks. Hello. We're not. We have to be different. And then This whole idea of, well, you know, this is just terrible that we don't allow our children to go out and trick-or-treat. Just think of all the fun they're missing. I actually read a report just yesterday by a Christian, a minister, who said, I will not deprive my children of the fun of Halloween, of celebrating Halloween, because he said, in my memory, I have some very fun memories of Halloween, and I will not deprive my children of having those same memories. You know, I guess I just think different. Because what I think is, nowhere in the Bible are we told that your fun is the most important thing, or your children's fun. Nowhere are we given any idea that that's the most important thing. But everywhere we are told to be holy, to be separate, to come out from among them, to touch not the unclean thing, to be different, to be light, to walk in the truth. Right? That's where the emphasis is, to follow Christ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Christ or his disciples having anything to do with Halloween celebration? I mean, if you say, oh yeah, I could imagine that, then your idea of who Christ is skewed. It's definitely off. Here's something else we should consider. When you allow your children to participate in Halloween, you are actually preparing them and indoctrinating them in occultism and witchcraft. In fact, you give them this message, whether you realize it or not, you give them this message, and that is that all of this Satanism, witchcraft, paganism, that it's really harmless. It's really just fun. It's innocent. And that's the wrong message to send them. That's the wrong message to send your children. They're being bombarded with that message already. I mean, with the popularity of Harry Potter, the popularity of all of these occult movies and games and everything else, video games that kids are involved with. In fact, they can't even watch Saturday morning cartoons without being bombarded with the occult and magic. But for a parent, a Christian parent at that, to tell your children that it's okay to participate in Halloween, you are giving them the wrong message. You are actually preparing them to be swallowed by the world and the devil. Instead of preserving their spirits, instead of guarding their hearts and spirits and telling them that we don't participate in these things because they're pagan, because they glorify the powers of darkness, because there's nothing Christian about any of it. You don't preserve your children. You deliver your children to the powers of darkness for further indoctrination and for further immersion in the world of the occult, in the world of darkness and demonism and so on. This is I believe it's a dangerous, dangerous thing you do, Christian parent, when you allow your children to indulge this fascination with the occult, with the demonic, with the powers of darkness. We should do everything in our power to preserve our children from these influences instead of immersing them in them. I make the illustration in the little Halloween tract that I wrote that this is the equivalent of giving your children a loaded gun to play with. But you can paint it. You can paint it white and put a little red tip on the end of it so it looks like a toy gun and give it to them to play with like it's harmless and it won't hurt them. But the fact is, what kind of parent would do that? But we do the spiritual equivalent when we allow our children to participate in these demonic, pagan celebrations that will simply bring them further into the world of what is pagan, occult, forbidden, superstitious, and so forth. You wouldn't give your children a rattlesnake to play with, that's for sure, but Christian parents will allow their children to dabble in the occult and in the world of darkness through these Halloween celebrations. And consider the fact that it is the appearance of evil. It is the appearance of evil. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, what about a witch, a demon, a monster, a mummy, macabre creature? Those are the appearances of evil, right? All of the Halloween decorum depicts evil. Evil things, evil beings, evil creatures, witches, witchcraft. That's repeatedly forbidden in the scriptures. Repeatedly. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. God doesn't think it's funny. He doesn't think it's funny when you pretend and masquerade like you're a witch. And I'll tell you something else. God doesn't think it's funny when we immerse ourselves or our children in these programs that glorify witchcraft and act like it's just some kind of little innocent, harmless magic power. Harry Potter, for instance, glorifying wizardry and witchcraft and magic, when in fact there is no such thing as white magic. All magic is black. All magic is dark. All psychic power comes from the pit. And obviously, the participation, Christians participating in these Halloween celebrations, it is an act of disobedience. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we're His children, we're supposed to be children of the light and of the day, not of the dark. Not of the night. We're supposed to walk in the light, right? Absolutely. How about this? Romans 13:12. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Or how about Ephesians 5:11? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Or how about 1 Thessalonians 5:5? You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We used to be of the dark. Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light, not children of the dark. What about then the church saying, well, let's not do the Halloween thing. Let's not send kids out on the streets. Let's not masquerade as demons and imps and ogres and monsters. Instead, let's have a different kind of party Halloween night. We'll have a harvest festival at the church. We'll just have all the kids come here and we'll give them candy and stuff. So they won't be out dressing and masquerading like demons and stuff. They can either masquerade as Bible characters or they won't masquerade at all. We'll just play games and we'll give them all candy and stuff. And that'll be our alternative to Halloween celebrations. Now, what would be wrong with that? Does that sound like it's reasonable? It sounds initially like it might be a rational, reasonable alternative. But the fact is this. That's how we got where we are right now. That's why we are where we are right now. Saying that the church can still participate in this stuff, we're just going to paint it a different color. We don't have to have an alternative to the world's celebrations. we don't have to participate in this at all. Remember, we're foreigners here. This isn't our world. These aren't our customs. Hello. We are different. Do you think that the Apostle Paul told the children in Corinth or Ephesus or wherever he was preaching, he said, now look, children, I know that 10 days a year over here, everybody goes out and worships Baal and Mithra and the sun gods, and so we're going to have an alternative to that. Or they just had nothing to do with it. They were different. They came out of paganism and were different. That's what our call is. Come out of it. We have nothing to do with it. We're not in competition with it. Neither are we going to bring it into the church and just give it a new name. It's really the same thing. That's how we got where we are right now. You're still doing the same thing. We have our celebration inside the church walls. They have theirs outside the church walls. Let's just come out from among them and be separate. Remember, you're a foreigner here. Let the world embrace its paganism. God's call to you is not for you to go and indulge in it and have fun. His call to you is to come out from it and be separate. Be separate. What part of that are we having trouble understanding? Come out from among them and be separate. Be different. Be different. It doesn't say be like them. Be different.